Welcome. You're listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast, presented by Hip Creative. This podcast is dedicated to those who want to stand strong in their market and be leaders in their community. Now onto the show with your host, Luke Infinger.
So Eliza, thanks so much for taking the time to come chat. I'm super excited just to talk through internal marketing with you.
Yay. Yeah. My name is Eliza. I work for Fishbine Orthodontics. I've been there for about 5 years. I'm the director of marketing. I started out there kind of seeing new patients and getting them started throughout their process. So I got to know the orthodontics world really well. And, marketing just was always my passion. And here we are.
Yeah. So walk us through just a typical day at Fishbine Orthodontics. What goes into internal marketing and just the day to day?
Well, I probably couldn't start with a typical day because there are no typical days. I try to keep a to-do list, but I never really, every now and then I get to check something off of it, but I feel like there's always something kind of coming at us. We love new things, big ideas, running with whatever kind of gets thrown at us. But usually I get there in the morning. I like to be a part of the team huddle at our flagship location in Pensacola and kind of see, what's going on in the clinic and introduce any events or anything we have going on with the team. And then check 18 million emails and see what we have coming up next. We generally like to keep as many as 2 to 4 events a month. So we'll kind of work on that and check how our Facebook's doing and stuff like that.
Awesome. And so with internal marketing, obviously that's a huge part of what goes on because you're managing everything internal, but you're also managing all the external working with vendors like ourselves, partners I like to think of. But, how specific do you work with some of the roles in the office, front desk possibly, or the call center, TCs, Amanda, management, as well as community outreach? Marketing, community outreach, those things go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So break that down and just walk us through how you guys strategize to really fulfill a complete marketing presence.
Yeah, we have a few different departments within our company, obviously, and they all really have to go hand in hand together. So it starts with marketing, getting people attached and get to know our name and want to kind of move forward. And then the first thing they do is make a phone call or go online and try to book an appointment or learn more about us. So I work directly with the patient care center, we call it. It's our call center team. They take the new patient calls, and one of the first things they ask them is, what was your referral source? What brought you in? And I always have to tell them, because we do so much, especially in the community, it's not going to be necessarily one thing. Sometimes it'll be another patient that referred them. Sometimes it'll be a billboard. Maybe they saw us at an event. Maybe they're got a water bottle at their school. They could say multiple things, but I always push them to say, like, what was the last thing you saw or heard that said, I need to make an appointment at Fishbine Orthodontics? So we watch that really closely. We run a lot of reports on that to kind of see where those are coming through. Their next step is, coming in and the front desk sees them. So it's really important to kind of watch their interaction and, making sure that they're kind of feeling out where that patient came from as well. And then they see our new patient coordinators, the treatment coordinators. They ask again where they came from and do a lot of pending and recall, trying to get them back in the door. So we work hand in hand with that as well. And then, of course, management. Amanda's my boss, so we kind of feed off of each other. The whole team really does. There's a lot of brainstorming that goes into everything we do. So, it's a think tank. It's a big machine, but we're somehow able to keep all 8 of our offices together and keep that culture stagnant and working well and getting those patients in at wherever we can.
Yeah. And when you started, obviously the office was in a totally different
place. Just a little bit, yeah.
walk us through some of the key things that were the building blocks with what you did in marketing to really kind of help you guys grow so quickly and also effectively.
Yeah. Wow. I think the 12th employee, but the marketing kind of, it grew from such a small it wasn't even really a job at first. I think when they were looking to bring me on, it was as a treatment coordinator, but they saw that I had a background in marketing. So they were like, hey, maybe we could use you for that too. I think at the time, Amanda was a office manager, a clinical manager. She was seeing patients as a treatment coordinator, and she was doing all of our marketing. So it definitely wasn't a focus because she wore so many hats. But now, you know, it's kind of evolved to its own department where, you know, eventually I was able to come full time, and Lori and I kind of went back and forth in these marketing roles. And then once she was able to take over the community part of it, it really allowed us to focus on what was going on in our community and, you know, how we could get these patients in the door, and being really able to concentrate on the specifics instead of us both doing multiple things. It really took that full time for us to be able to focus and evolve. That was really the only way we were ever going to make that happen.
Yeah. Walk us through, and we can kind of talk about this together, just some of the practical things that you guys did with, because you guys do everything.
Right? Yeah, so just a little bit of everything.
Traditionally, let's talk about traditional first, just billboards, radio, events. How did you approach some of those things?
Well, even as far as like 5 years ago, direct-to-consumer marketing was like super taboo. So I think we kind of, not scared, but, you know, surprised a lot of people in this area when we started doing those things. But it really took hold and started taking off. For instance, anytime we open a new location, we always start looking at, the first thing we do is find a place for a billboard, which obviously isn't perfect in every community. Sometimes they're super expensive and have really low reach. But in all of our areas that our offices are in, we've done really well with those. And the direct mailer. We'll send out direct mailers to our target audiences in those zip codes that are around those locations, followed by we normally do an online campaign with you guys that shows a video of the offices and introduces the new doctor or whatever's going on in those areas, and just kind of make them all encompassing where they relate to each other. And you'll see like, oh, they're opening a location here. And then I got a card in the mail for $500 off. And then I saw them online. Like, should probably go check that place out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all kind of working together.
Yeah.
So basically with all these channels, you guys really wanted to dominate, I guess is the word, and have omnipresence everywhere. So, you know, even I've gone to some of the Wahoo games and seen you guys on the tickets, and you're on radio, you're on the internet. And so you have all these channels, and new patients are coming from all these different areas. How do you track that? You know, you mentioned getting the referral source at the appointment. Where does that information go, and how frequently are you guys looking at it?
Yeah.
Explain that.
So that once they make that phone call, that's the first time that it's put into a chart. We run the reports on what's entered into that chart. I do it about once a week, but put it down on paper every month to kind of see our return on investment in those particular things. The thing is, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because we do so many things and we try to get a little creative in the ways that we're doing it. So the, you know, the patient that's coming in might not realize, you know, it was that particular ticket that he saw at the Wahoos game. And he might just say, oh, I know them from the Wahoos, because it could be the ticket. It could be they saw us at a table. It could be a commercial that they saw with the Wahoos character with our chompers. So it kind of is, you know, hard to manage exactly what those specifics are. But we do get a pretty good idea of exactly where they're coming from. And the treatment coordinators are also kind of double checking with the patient. They're like, oh, I see that you saw us on a billboard. But then they might say, oh, yeah, I did. But also my friend goes here. So they kind of have to play around with that and kind of feel it out. But for the most part, we have a pretty good brand recognition overall. So
yeah, a lot of offices have obviously a budget. And in most cases, you've probably have seen this, budgets are pretty small. You guys took a different approach and maybe even took on debt, but smart debt to be everywhere and everyone see you in multiple channels. How important do you think that is?
I honestly think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes that orthodontists are doing that aren't able to grow is they're not spending the money. I mean, there's that old saying, like, you got to spend money to make money. Mm-hmm. But the thing that we did was not say no. If we were approached to do an event or try a campaign or whatever it was, we're like, you know what, we'll try it. Why not? If it comes back negative, we won't do it next time. If it comes back positive, we'll put more money towards it. And it took a little bit of back and forth. We made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. We did a very expensive commercial for the local theater, and that didn't work out so well. I think we got one person from it, and all they wanted was the free toothbrush. They didn't even want to start treatment. So we kind of learned our lesson a few different times the hard way. But, you know, it's always going to make up for itself in the end, if not tenfold.
And how was that part of the mindset from leadership? I'm assuming Dr. Fishbein, Amanda, those people were not only okay with doing it, but wanted to spend and try. How important do you think, because some people have that scarcity mindset of, well, I have my budget, I know what I want to make, and I can't really, while it sounds like a good idea, I can't really do it. So you kind of have to break that belief and really try things. So speak to that a little bit and just kind of the culture and belief within the organization.
We definitely are on the high end. I believe the average that people are spending is like 4 to 5% of their collections. We are at 7.5% of collections that we focus on our budget. And I look at it every year and I kind of say, okay, this is what we did last year. This is what we spent. Now that I have done better on collections and we have that little extra percentage there, you know, where is that inflammation going to happen? Like, where can I get more out of it if we spend the money? And it all started with Dr. Ben. He can't be told no. So if he has an idea or he sees something, like, you just do it, you know? and that definitely kind of progressed us really fast. And Amanda and I were always on board and just wanting to do all these cool new things. So it was like, you know, why not? We want to be the next big thing. We want to be doing the cool stuff. So it was very easy. It makes my job extremely easy knowing that those budgets are in place and that I do have a little bit of autonomy and freedom to kind of try new things and see where that money can take us.
Awesome. The customer experience is really big to you guys. From what I've seen, I don't know that there's anybody who does it better in orthodontics in terms of, you know, you guys really create such a fun environment and have, because of that, you know, you have raving fans, patients, who then refer you. So I'm assuming word of mouth referrals is huge for you guys. How important is the customer experience? And just speak to some of the things that you guys do that are maybe different that some other practices may not be doing.
Okay. Yeah. So I think our existing patient referrals make up still about 40% of our referral base. So that word of mouth and those patients telling other patients and getting them to start is huge for us. And I think a lot of that comes from us actually having warm referrals as far as our staff. So we don't necessarily hire somebody that went to dental school or studied this or has experience at all. You know, we take people that worked at tanning salons or restaurants, things of those nature, and train them from scratch, because it's not necessarily about, you know, the skill. We can teach that. We can't teach personality.
Yeah.
We can't teach drive. So the people that we're bringing in, we know they're going to match our culture. We can kind of feel that through the interview process. They're usually friends or family of somebody else that works there that we know meshes well. And I think that helps a lot. And then, of course, our presence in the community, I think people see that it's not just business for us. It's being a part of the community and wanting to do good. Like, it's our job to make people smile, not to make money off of making people smile. So I think people feel that, and the patients feel that when they come in. And I don't know what we do different, maybe other than doing those warm referrals as far as bringing people in, but I think we're just consistent with it. We're a family. We treat each other like family. And there might be 100 of us, but now we're just a big old family.
Yeah. Yeah, with some of the things you guys do that I've seen, for instance, like in the call center, I think you have like either a 48-hour rule or 72-hour mm-hmm. where, you know, you offer them a time slot there. Kind of walk us through, like, if I were to request an appointment and come in, maybe some of the touch points, even down to getting like a swag bag if they start.
Okay.
Just some of those things I think are a big deal, and possibly they're obviously easy to implement without spending much money. So maybe talk about a little bit of that.
Sure. So when a patient calls, our care center knows that they need to get them in within 72 hours. So within the next 3 days, even if it's the weekend. So if they're calling on a Friday, we're going to get them in on Monday. We have plenty of openings for that. We try to be as available to the patients as possible. But sometimes we have to overbook. And if that's the case, we do it. We make it work. We've never had problems with that. But as far as incentives to, we kind of do both sides of it. We incentivize our staff and we incentivize patients. So when a patient gets started, we really like to get them started the same day. Just it's convenient for them. It's convenient for us. And that way, you know, we kind of got them.
Yeah.
And we have different incentives for that, whether it be, you know, an extra discount or a Gobi toothbrush or a swag bag or something of that nature. We do whatever we can to make them happy. And on the other side of things too, you know, like our care center, they have incentives to make sure that 72-hour rule stays in place and that the call rate is up and that we're getting those callbacks within less than 5 minutes and things of that nature. And they run little contests and do fun things. I think they all just got like key sunglasses. I was like, how do I get in on that? You know, like, I want some fun stuff.
Yeah.
We definitely spoil our staff when it comes to hitting those goals. Like once they hit a goal that we've pushed them towards, we're definitely going to make sure they know that they're appreciated.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think I've even seen you guys do shopping sprees internally and things like that.
Fun stuff.
That definitely motivates the team to perform on a high level.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
We're spoiled.
Yeah. Some of the practices that I meet don't have internal marketing at all. They're kind of, you know, pulling some people out, maybe the front desk or the TC, and trying to do marketing. Maybe it's the doctor's wife, or it's kind of everybody maybe trying to do a few things, but it often gets overlooked. So does community outreach. How important do you think this role is with internal marketing to really manage everything and plan strategically? And you've seen a lot of offices too. So just what are your thoughts on how important this role is? Maybe there's some offices watching this who are really on the fence. You know, should they do it? And how important is internal marketing?
Yeah, it's super important. And I can actually kind of speak from experience, because when I first started, like I said, I was a treatment coordinator 3 days of the week. And one of the days the team traveled where they didn't need me, and the other day on Fridays we used to be closed. Dr. Ben's going to kill me for saying that. But we had those 2 days to focus on marketing, and that didn't even last for very long because of how busy we started getting once we did start pushing the marketing. Then I was having to TC full time, and I had like 5 minutes here and there to do the marketing, and it just, things were getting dropped. Stuff was falling through the cracks, especially the community stuff. So, you know, they made that decision to find somebody to do the full-time marketing. I would say within my first year that became a thing. And I was still helping, but Lori, actually, who's our community outreach coordinator, was more of like a public relations role.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it wasn't enough. We needed a focused full-time position where you could really play with the numbers and be out in the community and follow all the little components that are going out, you know, and about, like seeing the ROI, watching where that money's going and how it's coming back. And once that happened, you could really see the growth start kicking off. And then even at that point, you know, it became too much for just me. And I had, you know, some help part-time. Lori was working a few days a week, and we had an event manager that helped us a few days a week. But the second that Lori came in full-time in the community, like our presence in the community has grown just incredibly increased in the past year since she's kind of done that. It's been really cool to watch but it definitely makes a huge difference. You have to spend the money on the person that can take the time, that can focus on it and then help you grow.
Yeah, we see a huge benefit with someone working in the practice who can feed us content or help us with strategy and just know what's going on because people are so busy. You know, a lot of doctors want to be involved in marketing because it's fun, but they make more money when they're putting on braces.
Yes.
So
doctors should doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Dr. Ben will agree with that. He does like to be a part of the marketing, but he's taken more of a kind of stand back, put his input every now and then, but the doctor should doctor.
Definitely. Couldn't agree
for
more.
For sure.
You mentioned ROI. How do you guys track that and scale what's working?
So I actually created a ROI report probably a couple years ago, and it was really the first time we could see exactly, you know, they ran the reports to see where things were coming from, but to see, you know, what we're spending in each category, what we're getting in those contracted starts for it, the new patient conversions in each area. You know, a lot of those things are brand recognition, and we kind of keep that in mind when we're looking at these reports. But once it's all kind of laid out, you can really see, you know, like where that referral came from, how many we had from that one particular referral, how many starts versus new patients. So you can kind of see like, well, maybe we aren't getting a ton of starts from it, but 100% of them are converting. So whatever that thing is that's bringing them in, they're starting. So it's working. And most of the time you get one start, whatever that referral cost was, is probably paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of paying attention to that and seeing what's working. And of course, if it's working, throw more money at it, see if it works even better.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat. If anyone wants to contact you, maybe they have questions, how should they do so?
Email's the best. I'm in and out of the office all the time. So it's just Eliza, A-L-I-Z-A, at fishortho.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about improving your healthcare marketing, day-to-day operations, and standing strong in your market, send us an email at hello@hipcreativeinc.com. That's hello@hipcreativeinc.com. Or jump over to our website at hip.agency.